Okay, let's continue in Kuf Chaf Beis and Shabbos. Okay, so let's take the next Tosas. Vim Bishvil Yisrael Aser, right? So Tosas is like this. Tosas says like this. Nira de Aser l'chol Yisrael. That if the guy does it for a Jew, it's Aser. But who is it Aser for? So he says it appears that it's Aser for every Jew. The Dafka b'chutz l'tzchum, the Rabbanon, Amar Perak b'chol ma'arvin, u'b'ein sodin, habob shul Yisrael zeh, mutl Yisrael acher. Avo b'yisur d'araisa, ki hacha, lo. Yes, that's a strange case. This case in Beitza that has, you have Beitza there? That says if a guy brings something to a Jew on Yom Tov, and it's coming from outside of the tchum, and we're not concerned that it was something that he did a malacha for, like picking something that was picked off of from where it was growing. So then it says, "Habab b'shvil Yisrael zeh mutter Yisrael acher." If he brings it for this Jew, it's mutter for another Jew, right? But this is on Yom Tov, so there's no hotza issue, right? It's only an issue of tchum. So it's something that couldn't have been picked today. So you don't have a chash of see if it was something that it was min ha-mechub yesh me'oso ha-min b'mechubar, right? If it was something that looks like he picked it today, he did a malacha on it today, caught a fish or whatever it is, so then it says it's aser b'kadesh yasu for that night. But if there's something that didn't have a malacha done, so it's just an issue of coming from outside of the tchum, then it says, Habo b'shvil Yisrael zeh, mutl Yisrael acher. So Rashi says over here, and this Rashi, he raises the question, why should that be? He quotes our Mishnah. And, he says, our Mishnah means it's aser for everybody. So why should this be any different? So he gives the same answer as Tosus. Yesh lomer, degabi iser cha iser techumen derabbanan lo achmar kulihai. V'dayonim asru al zeh. That since it's the Rabbanon, since the Isser is the Rabbanon, they're not that machmir. Lo achmir kuli hai, not so machmir. And it's enough if they asked it on him. Yeah, Tosas is the same thing, right? That in Issa d'Oraisa, he learns, is a problem. Issa d'Oraisa, they asked it on everybody. Like here. But over there, the tchum is nisad rabbanon. The only thing is, he goes a little further, right? And he says that what? He says, but even though we say hamavashal b'shabbos b'shogeg yochal, right? So there it's nisad araisa, right? So he says, like we were saying yesterday, over there, you're not choshesh that he's going to do he's going to come to do it. So, but if there's ever a case where there's an issur d'oraisa, that there's a chashash the person will engage in it, then we ask it on everybody. The only thing is, what's our case? Our case is bin nochri ha'osel letzarach Yisrael ishoros le osi lemeimer lenochri lasos b'shvilo. But that itself is issur d'oraisa. Right? It was a mere la'akam business to draw on. So, Tosas is chilik is that the tchum, we can allow it for the Jew, for another Jew, because it's only Nisad Rabbanon. Right? But by Nisad Araisa, we're machmir. But you see, he doesn't mean when there's a chshash that you're going to do the Nisad Araisa, the chshash of doing an Nisad, that's a Nisad Araisa. Because what's here the whole chshash? The whole chshash over here is that you're going to tell the guy. But telling the guy is definitely an Nisad Rabbanon. Right? So what does he mean? He means when what? When the Isser that's being done is Nisad Araisa. But what's this idea over here? I mean, what's the idea over here of saying for the Rabbanans will be Mekel and only Asered on the guy who was brought for, and for Nisad Rabbanon on everybody? I mean, What's the difference between those two approaches? Is it just we're tougher on this case and we're more lenient on that case? I mean, is there? Can you define what does it mean to be macher and what does it mean to be mekel over here?
Which case is machmir, which case is
mekel? So saying whenever there's an issue of daraisa, we're machmir. What does it mean we're machmir? I mean, what does it mean we're machmir? We're machmir what? So that even for the Jew, it wasn't done for its asr. Right? So over here, and it goes by the ultimate isser. It goes by what the source isser is. Right? If the source isser is daraisa, meaning lighting a fire is an issa deraisa. So then even though we're our chash over here is amir al-akam, which itself is derabanan, but it's an amir al-akam on a malacha deraisa. So then he says, then we're machmir. And what's the chumrah? Now we say, even though it was done for one Jew, it's usher for every Jew. Right? But if the issur that we're worried about is the Rabbanon, like coming from outside of the Tchum on Yom Tov, so that whole thing is Rabbanon. Tchum itself is Rabbanon on Yom Tov, he's saying. So then we're Mekel. And we only say it's usur for the Jew that it was brought to. But what does it mean over here? I mean, what do you mean we're Machmir? What do you mean we're Mekel? What does the thing demand? What does the Takana demand? I mean, is he just saying we're overdoing it by the deraisas and we're underdoing it by the derabanans? I mean, what does he mean to say we're machmir and we're mekel? One of them should be the norm. One of them shouldn't be a chumra or a kula. Yeah. And also, I mean, like I said, what does it mean to be machmir? I mean, we were saying yesterday the whole problem is that if the guy does it for me, so then I'm worried. Then we're worried that I'm going to ask him next time, right? But why would that? Would you have that chashash if the guy does it for Reuven and Shimon is nana from it? I mean, for Shimon, it's like he did it for himself, I mean, right? So maybe it means like this, right? No, that's good. What Johnny's saying is good. No, what does it mean to be machmir? What does it mean being machmir? What does it mean being mekel? So Johnny's saying the definition of machmir here, halachically, what does it mean to be machmir? What is the chumrah? So the chumrah is, we'll say, that when we're going to say in the daraisas by isurim that have an ultimate ikar in the Torah, right, a daraisa framework, a daraisa basis, that we make them an isur cheftza, right? That's what Johnny's saying. I think that's correct. Now he's defining, he's saying, the Tosfos is saying, the Rabbanon have an option of how to implement this takana. They can make it an objective isser, right, an isser cheftza, and say that this type of a situation creates an objective isser in the cheftza, even though it's really only because for Choshesh, the guy that it was done for might come to engage in it. But in Doraisas, we maintain a certain level of an objective nature. Because I think it's because of it should be consistent with the level of Doraisa. Doraisas should reflect an objective, absolute shame isser. So therefore, whenever the isser that ultimately is being is in danger, because amir lakim is also because you'll come to do it. So this is true. This is for the amir lakim of lighting the nair, which ultimately is in terms of the isser havara. So in daraisas, he says we maintain an objective framework. But if the isser itself is derabanan, then they formulated it as an isser just in terms of the gabra. So it's an interesting thing. Now, as you see over here, that the Chazal were very careful not to just stam be overly machmir. That sometimes there's a choice, of how to formulate an isser. And they were not just across the board taking an extreme, you know, the machmir situation. They had to they put a lot of thought into it, not to be machmir. When he says that they're makel, he means to say that they didn't want to burden, be overly burdensome, when ultimately the issue is drabanan. It's enough just to stick with the straight idea of the Nisra and the Gavra. But on the Rises, apparently they held you have to keep the Rises in a certain pristine form in people's minds. That itself is an Indian. But you have to know what the danger is. If the danger ultimately is, if ultimately it's a reflection of the Raisa, you have to be careful to keep it a certain objective standard. But if we're only coming if it's only because of the Rabban to begin with, the Rabbanim themselves are really, like we said last time, Isuri Gavra. We can keep it into the framework of Gavra. Good question. Okay, so let's just, this brings out, let's just review quickly. Okay, so it comes out like this. That there are, based on what we were saying yesterday, if you take a look at the Marsha makes this point that you're asking about. It comes out like this, that there are two levels, there are two categories of gezeira that we're dealing with in these two tosin. Okay, the first one is when it's usher to engage in a product of malacha, regardless of how it occurred, even if it happened mamela, right? So a fruit falls off of a tree to nobody's nobody caused it. In those situations, the first Tosafot was explaining, sometimes Chazal made a gzeira just on the, to be nene from the malacha itself, even if it was done memela, right? But he says that's only when, in a person's mind, that's only when it's a malacha that's both kal and the person is excited about. So the way we defined it yesterday is that's only in a situation where the maisa of using it is really an extension of producing it. Gil, this is new to you. So in other words, if a fruit falls off of a tree, you can't eat it on Shabbos. Why? Because the maisa of eating it really is just an extension of grabbing it from the tree. There's no production involved. You're not making the fruit. It's just part of taking of creating its availability. So in situations like that, where the achila is, where it's a malacha kal, meaning say it's just a continuous action from the taking to the eating, and it's a type of thing by like food, he says, achila, where people are very, get very engaged and excited, so we're afraid you're going to lose your mind for a moment, and you're just going to, you'll be eating from the floor and you'll eat from the tree. It's in the continuous action. Those types of malachos, who asked me a question, Michael? Those types of malachos, even when they're done memelo, we ask the result. Right? Nice, clear idea. But things that require an intermediary step of production, like lighting a fire, that's not an extension of, reading is not an extension of lighting. So those things are not kal. So there's no gezeira on a fire that comes mamela. Right? This is only a separate category. Because that was a question, I'm afraid I'm going to do the malacha. So you're not afraid a guy's going to do the malacha simply because he has the benefit of the malacha. If the malacha is a totally different involvement, there's no connection between his eating, eating and his cooking, for instance. So cooking is not something that we would say memela is, that's what the Marshal explains. That Tosfos only takes here a case of a Jew cooking. Because if a guy cooked for himself, that wouldn't be a problem. Because we don't say cooking is not a malacha kal. It's a whole process, it's its own activity. So in terms of being a malacha that we're afraid, just engaging in the product is going to draw you into the process, that's only very few cases where it's a malacha kal and the involvement in the thing draws you in to do more. Okay? But so the candle and all these cases in the Mishnah don't fall under that category. They fall under another category. That's a category where we say, if the malacha was done for you, right, then I'm choshesh that I'm going to try to take to create the same situation another time. I'm not choshesh a guy is going to eat from the bishul of the guy and do his own bishul. That we're not choshesh for. Because that's a whole separate maisa, and you have to basically make the guy amazed to do something like that. The other cases could be a shogi guy who just won't realize to pick off the tree. But here, it's not something that you can just naturally going to go and cook. So then it would be amazed. Not choshesh for amazed. You know what I mean, amazed, you know?
Yeah.
Right? So this is a totally different case where it was done, since it was done for him by an akum, so then we're choshesh that he'll ask him the next time. Now, that itself, it's a different kind of gzeira. It's a gzeira that it's something that the person is going to basically try to replicate. Why? Because he doesn't really look at it. He doesn't look at it as such a severe thing. How does he say it? He says, Isharis lay. He says, by the bishul case, we're not choshesh. Because then the guy would just have to simply be amazed. But over here, and since Issa Shabbos is skila and it's chomir lay, we're not choshesh. Aval b'nachri osu l'tzorach Yisrael, Isharis lay, osu l'meimel l'nachri, lasos b'shvilo. Yeah. So what does that mean? But the point is, it's a different kind of that's a different gzeira already, right? It's not like the case of where it's done by itself. That with choshesh, that the person's not going to keep the isser of amir la'akum, if we let him engage in the maisa of amir la'akum, if you let him engage in the product of amir la'akum, meaning where the guy does something for you, he'll try to cause it next time. Right, I'll try to bring it about next time. Why? Because he doesn't really look at it like he's doing anything at all. In truth, that's the real problem. A person doesn't look at Amir al-Akam like he's doing anything at all. Right? So, I would say in this case, since a person doesn't really look at it like he's doing anything when he does Amir al-Akam, if we let him engage in the result of the Amir al-Akam, to him, it's going to be indistinguishable from bringing it about, because it doesn't feel like the bringing it about is really anything at all. Now, as in a person's mind, he doesn't distinguish, doesn't look at an amira as something. When you ask somebody to do something, you don't look at that like you're doing it, right? Now, it's in terms of the bishul. In terms of bishul, that's an obvious involvement on the part of the individual, right? That's an obvious full engagement in malacha. But a regular person doesn't look at asking a guy to do malacha as equivalent with doing something, right? It's not equivalent, and it's not. It's not equivalent to doing something. It's not a misconception. It's true. It's not equivalent to doing something. But I'm saying is more. They really don't look at it like anything serious at all. It's just they don't view it as a maisa at all. So in that sense, if we let a person enjoy something that was done for him by a non-Jew, right, then he doesn't really feel, if he feels that's okay, then he's really going to feel like the bringing it about is nothing at all. You understand? There's no maisa at all in that situation. What I'm trying to say is that there's three categories. There's a case where there's the first two categories. The first basic distinction is where there's an actual involvement in the gavra of the gavra. He's actually doing something. So then you have two breakdowns of that, where the maisa that he's doing is kal. We're worried he's going to forget himself and go and do it, right? Where the maisa is significant, we're not worried he's going to forget himself and do it. All right. But this last case is where the person doesn't feel he's doing anything at all. So unless we create in him a certain absolute stigma of things done for him by a non-Jew, it's not a clear category in his mind to say there's a difference between a guy doing it on his own versus me getting him to do it. So in order to protect the whole institution of Amir al-Akam, we have to negate the whole category from the person. Otherwise it becomes very, and then like, I think it's even, you know, you see it very often. People feel very, they start hinting, they start saying, well, can I hint? Can I wink? Can I express my feelings about things? And maybe he'll just catch on. You know what I mean? It becomes very, there's no clear point in a person's mind of, this is when you did it. Right, so you have to, in this case, because of the amorphous character of getting somebody to do something, they had to answer the whole category, the whole benefit, right? Okay. Now, right? Okay, so let's take Tosfos' next question. He has an interesting question. He says, so why don't you say though? There's another case in the Mishnah beforehand. This is a practical halacha. I mean, hopefully you shouldn't be, shouldn't have to know, you shouldn't have to employ it, but it's a big problem if there's a fire on Shabbos. I mean, that's not the time to start pulling out the Shulchan Aruch and figuring out what to do. But it's a big problem. There's a fire, breaks out on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to tell the guy to put out the fire. Okay, why not? It's a good question. But you're not allowed to tell the guy to put out the fire. Basically, you know, it's because we were saying yesterday, he was asking me yesterday, if it's what we call a shvus to shvus with makom mitzvah, it should be mutter, right? To ask a guy to do a drabanan on Shabbos with makom mitzvah is mutter, right? Now, is kiboy deraisa drabanan? Putting out a fire, is that a nisa deraisa, and this is drabanan? So what is the kiboy? So kiboy is a malacha, and it is one of the lamentest malachas, right? But what is the kiboy of the malacha? What's the malacha of kiboy?
What's the product?
To make the coal. Right? So the kiboy in the Mishkan was to make coal. Right? You ever see charcoal? How do you think it gets that way? They burn it and they put it out. Right? Somebody has to do that. I don't know if the you know, that's like the cowboy charcoal. You see that? They sell that now. It's like real cinders. Or like the wicks, a wick that was lit once and put out burns better. It catches better. It's easier to do, to use it. So the real malacha of kiboy is osa pechem, to make a coal. So certainly nobody's putting out the fire in his house to have coals, right? So that's what we call what? So what do we call that? What's that called? Correct. That's called a malacha she'ena tzricha leguva. That means where you do a malacha, but not for the purpose of the malacha. So that's this kind. That would be this kind of a case where putting out a fire always has two results. What are the two results of putting out a fire? No fire, and yes pechem, and yes kol. Right? Putting out a fire makes a kol. And it also puts out the fire. So the malacha is where the guy is putting out the fire simply to produce the coal. But if a person doesn't care about the coal, then that would be what we call malacha shein shvich leguvo. It's true he's making the coal, but he doesn't care about it. It's not his interest. It'd be like the classic case of the person digs a hole because he wants the dirt. So of course the hole appears, but that's not what he wants. That's called a malacha that you do not for its purpose. Okay? So most Rishonim hold that's an Issa D'Rabbanan on Shabbos. Ram is an exception, but we hold basically it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. So why can't you ask a guy to put out a fire for you on Shabbos? They're the separate gzeira, because we're afraid that you're going to do it yourself. Because since it's your house and it's your money that's burning down, we're afraid if you get him to do it, you're going to start helping him. No, you idiot, like this. You know, that type of thing. Adam boho la mamono. Person's going to be bohol in his moment. And he's gonna, not going to be able to help himself, but to jump in and to help the guy do it right. Yeah.
If the guy was
going to make a mistake. Notice he doesn't intend. It's not an intentional thing. He just gets lost. Once someone is engaged in putting it out, he's going to lose himself in that process. He's not going to do it on his own. You need a little imagination for this. Right, B-Mac? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's that. So the Mishnah says... The Mishnah says, if your house is burning down, and the guy, by the way, you know, people, I think, you know, if you're living in a situation where you're afraid the fire is going to spread and it could cause harm, it could kill somebody, then of course you put it out. But if it's just a situation of your money, you can't. So anyway, so let's say the guy shows up, right? The guy shows up, and he's going to put out your fire. So it says, "Ein omrim lo kabei v'al tichbe." You don't tell him anything. Don't tell him do it, and don't tell him don't do it. Okay. Mipnei she'ein shvisaso alein. You're not responsible for him resting. Only Jews have to rest. So if a non-Jew comes and your house is burning down, you can't tell him to do it, because that would be an issur to instruct him to put out the fire. But you can, but you don't have to stop him. Let him do it, right? As opposed to a katan. If a Jewish katan comes to put out the fire, ein shomen lo. We cannot let him do it. Mipnei sheshvisaso alein. Because his shvisa is upon you. You're responsible for him resting. You're responsible for the katan to rest. All right, let's see. Let's go through the Gemara. All right, so the Gemara says like this. What does the Gemara say? Gemara says, "Katan shebo lichbos ein shomen lo b'nei sheshvisaso alein." So the Gemara says, "Shemat mina de katan ochel nevelos based in mitzuvah olav lafrisho." So the Gemara says, "What do you see from this case? What do you see from this Mishnah? That if a katan wants to do an iser on Shabbos, wants to do any iser, based in is obligated to prevent him, right? No, it's that's an obligation to prevent the katan from doing an iser." Because why can't you let this katan do an iser? He's not chayv mitzvos, right? So you see that Beis Din apparently Beis Din has an obligation to prevent katanim from doing iser. So was that so? So is that Tosfos seems to say it's not an inyan of chinuch. It's more an inyan of like you can't feed a kid iser. But anyway, is this so astounding? So doesn't sound like a big chiddush to us. So Rashi explains, v'tikshili Rabbi Yochanan. It's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yevamos l'Rabba Bar Bar Chana de'irkasulei maftechos shel beis medrash b'rishus harabim Shabbos. So it's a funny story. They lost. It's a question of what the gear says, if it's really Rabbi Yochanan or not. But anyway. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana lost the keys to the shul on Shabbos. Okay, in the Rishus HaRabim. I guess he didn't lose them on Shabbos, but it was Shabbos, and he says the keys are lost in this Rishus HaRabim. So what should we do? So he says, "Devar Taila v'Talisa l'Tailei Hosom di Mishkachiluhu Maisiluhu." So he recommended bring kids over here, and tell them to play in this field. And if they find the keys, they'll bring them to you. Right? So he says, so you see, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you don't have to be mafresh. He's inducing them to do a malach on Shabbos. So says the kashan Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if you can take kids to the field and for the sole purpose of having them do hotzah, right, or ma'avir dal amos v'shus rabim, that's what you're trying to get them to do. You're not telling them that, of course, but that's the nature of a kid. If he finds a key, he's going to bring it, and you got to pick good kids. But if you could do that, then why do you have to stop a kid who on his own is coming to put out a fire? Right? Got it? So he says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bikatan she'osel das, Bikatan ha'osel das aviv. So he says, no, the case is not just stam a katan. It's a katan who's coming al das aviv. Bikatan she'yoda la'havchin she'hakibu izen noach la'aviv ve'ose b'shvilo. He's a kid who's old enough to realize that his father is very upset that the house is burned down. Right? The father's very upset, and he's really doing it to please the father. So that, stam for the kid himself, there's no obligation to be mafreshim from Isser. But this would be like getting him to do it for the father. This would be like having a katan do it for you. You can let him do it for himself. You don't have to stop him if he's doing things for himself, according to Rabbi Yochanan. But you can't allow him to do things for you. Okay, Jeremy, you got a question?
Why should that be any better?
Okay, so then the Gemara says, oh, but now you're going to run into a problem with the Nachri. Right? Because if you're learning the case of the katan as he's doing it for the father, then the Mishnah should be even. Then the Nachri should be doing it for the Jew too. Right? He says, Dikavosa Gabi Nachri, Dika Ovid Ladaite di Israel. Nami Shari. So now you're telling me, now if you're gonna tell me what's the context of the Mishnah? What's the basic theme of the Mishnah? That you don't have to stop a cut, you have to stop a cutting when he's doing it for you. But you don't have to stop a Nachri when he's doing it for you. Right? That's the Gemara's Kasha. Well, if you're going to give me this answer by the Katan, it's Dafka because he's doing it for you and that's why it's Usur, then that means even though the Nachri is doing it for you, it's Mutter. Right, Rashi? Nachri, I'm sorry. So the Gemara's answer is no. Nachri ledaite de nafshe avid. The Nachri is really doing it for himself. Rashi, Vafilu yodea shenoach lo Yisrael, even though he knows the Jew is happy, right? Hu lahanos atzmo miskaven, his intention is for his own good. How? Sheyodea shlo yafsid, because he knows that he'll get a reward. That's the Gemara earlier. The Gemara earlier says you're even allowed to say, like you were asking. You're even allowed to say, whoever puts this fire out will not lose. Right? You're allowed to make a general statement like that. Whoever does this will not lose. Right? So that's why we say that the guy is doing it. He knows the Jew wants it. And his objective is, but we still say, ultimately, his objective is for himself. Okay? So that's Tosa's question now. So you see over here, but if I were to ask you, plainly, simply speaking, is the guy doing it for the Jew? I mean, in a certain sense, he definitely is, right? So why, how do we distinguish between the guy coming and putting out the fire for the Jew, and in that case we say, that's selfish. As opposed to this Mishnah where it says, absolutely, if the guy lights the candle for the Jew, it's usur. Even if he gets paid for that. I mean, ultimately, it's why don't you say the same thing over here? You know, it's a philosophical position of certain people that, you know, everything is ultimately selfish. Right? Everything is ultimately selfish. They're not necessarily selfish people. But that's a position. Right, Jeremy?
Yep.
So how do you distinguish? That's Tosa's question. So he says, V'lo domi laha damar le'el. Nochri shebo lichbos ein omer lo kaveh. V'al tichbe. We don't tell them either way. But over here, it's usur. Kishe osa b'shvil Yisrael. Why? Dichi amrinon din nachri adaita din nafshe ka'ovid. When do we say the guy is doing it for himself? Hani mili bikibui ukiyotze bo. That's by extinguishing things, and like that, and cases like that. She'ein Yisrael nene b'maiso hanochri. That the Jew is not enjoying, is not being benefited with the act of the guy. Aval hacha, she'guf Yisrael nene b'maiso hanochri. So he left that one word before, right? Because he certainly is being benefited, but he's saying, it's not like this case where the guf Yisrael is nene b'mais shonachri. Then we don't say adaitit nafshikovid. Why? Ho'il v'hanachri miskavin l'hanoso. Since the guy has kavana for the Jews' enjoyments. Kach pirish rabbeinu shimshon azakin. Gets credit for that. So let's set up the problem. So the problem is that what? That how come by the case of the fire where he knows the Jew wants the fire out and he's putting the fire out. Now in a simple sense you'd say he's putting the Jew's fire out for him. He knows he can't do it on Shabbos, right? And so he's doing it for him. Over there we look at like his ultimate motivation and we say, but since ultimately he's doing it for him so that he gets a benefit, that's not called for him.
So then who gets a benefit?
The guy. Now how come by the case of the fire we look deeper and we say it's true he's putting out the Jew's fire because the Jew can't do it. It's not just Stam, he's practicing his fire prevention skills. Not just Stam practicing out for the fire department, trying to impress his fire buddies. He's doing it because the Jew needs it to be done, and he is coming in to supply, to meet that need. Correct? But we say over there, but if you really look deeper into his psyche, you'll see he's really doing it for himself. Right? That's fine. But over here, by the case of the candle, the ramp, the water for the animal, in those cases we say that it doesn't matter what his ultimate motivation is, this is considered to be doing it for the Jew. Right? How can we get to choose? Why do we get to switch the framework? In both cases, yeah.
The way that you just presented it, that we don't care what the ultimate framework is, so that's the assumption that really, really the ultimate framework is that he's doing it for the reward.
If a Jew goes into Yisrael, comes into his house, and all of his lights are out in the house, and he says, "Whoever turns on the lights will not lose." I certainly can't do that, right? Or even if he sees the guy coming and saying, "Let me do this for you," he can't let him do it, right? Even though the guy knows that it's his boss, and if he does this for him, he'll get treated better. It doesn't matter. We don't say that that's considered for himself. We don't say it's adaita d'nafshei k'avod. We still say that's his own choice, right? No, I mean Johnny's right. Even if he specifically says, "I'm doing this for you because I like you," we still say that's your choice. That's up to you. That's your own. Adaiti the nafshek of it. Right? Well, I'm saying that we say he's acting on his own because we look deeper and we say, yeah, why does he... That's still his own. Ultimately, he feels that he's the beneficiary of doing this.
Because he knows you're going to give him something? Or even if
he's
not.
Getting something out of it. Whatever he's getting out of it, he's getting out of it. He's self-motivated. He's not really for me. Oh, so factually, Tosis is saying, what's the difference? He's saying, one is where He says it's usur when you're nehneh from the guf, when the guf of the Yisrael, not just physically his body apparently, but his property, is actually Johnny. Property is a bad word. When he is positively being getting an enjoyment from what the guy did. So if the guy lit the candle and now he can read, that's considered he's a nehneh. If he produced water and now he can drink, then he's a nehneh. Right, but over there by the fire,
being put out,
he says he's not a nene from that. That's not considered to be a nene, but ma'isa hanochri. That's not considered to be a nene, but ma'isa hanochri. Huh? That's right. That's right. Now, so you'll say. So the guys are saying over here that. It's a good distinction. We have to see how it works into the logic. That by the fire, there's no product that he's going to use on Shabbos. There's no product that he's using, ever really. Right? What he means, they're trying to say, what does he mean? How does he dividing up the cases? Cases where the guy is producing something, that you're enjoying that product, versus cases where he's not producing something. You're just enjoying a siluk of something else. But still, why would you choose one to have to say it's a daitid nafshay and one to say it's his own? It's usur automatically if it's for you. Yes, yeah, so good. I think if you follow this line of reasoning down, you'll see a clear distinction, right? Go ahead. Okay. So I think what Sammy's saying is like this: that is the Gemara is saying that in terms of Maisa. In terms of the action, in terms of asiya, the gavra's action, so unless you directed his action, unless you actually sent him and he responded to your command, we always consider the nachri to have the motivation from within. As we say, nachri adaiti de nafshei kovid. He's making up his own mind what to do. When he's doing it spontaneously, some even want to say that in terms of shlichus. That's a separate question, but over here we say he made a cheshbon and whatever it is he decided this is a good thing for him to do. That's in terms of the maisa. He can't make the maisa the Jews. Okay, that's different. The katan is different. The katan is considered like in the rishus of the father. Like everything he does for the father's benefit is considered like automatically the father's activities. But by the Nachri, we don't say that. The only thing we can say, though, is this. In terms of the Maisa, you don't say that the Maisa becomes the Maisa of the Yisrael. But even if the person selfishly decided to do an action, you have to look at the action he's doing. If the action is to produce an ore, for instance, or to produce a ramp, for instance, with an objective in that Maisa, then we say if the objective in the Maisa was for the benefit of the Yisrael, then although he's engaged in the whole thing on his own, and his overall motivation is adaita denafshei, he on his own can choose to dedicate something to something else, to somebody else. In other words, because I selfishly make you a cup of coffee, that doesn't mean it's not your cup of coffee. Of course it's your cup of coffee. But it's not going to make the Maisa your Maisa. You understand? That's the chilak that Tosfos is saying. When there's a product, in order to say there's an isser, in order to say there's an isser hano from the maisa hanochri on Shabbos, from the malacha on Shabbos, it has to be that there's an element of the shame Yisrael in the asiya. Okay, saying, but when there's pure asiya, meaning to say there's no product of hanoah at all, then it can only be considered the Yisrael's if we can actually redefine the Maisa as the Maisa of the Yisrael. But in that sense, we say that ultimately every Nochri, maybe every person, every Nochri is a prime mover, right? He's a prime mover. And he's not an extension of, unless he's responding specifically to a request, we would say that it's a da'ite d'nafshe. He made up his mind to go ahead and do this. So whose maisa is it? It's his, because he's the first cause of that maisa. If I tell him to do it, maybe that's different. But certainly if he does it on his own, for whatever reason, he made a cheshbon, and that's his cheshbon and his maisa. So if I do a maisa for somebody, I'm still the cause of that maisa. So I'm still the one that's koveya. The maisa is still defined as mine. Okay? But even if the maisa is mine, if my whole maisa is to create something for you, the product could be considered, can have your shame. You understand? The product has the shame of the Yisrael. So it comes out like this, that Tosis is really saying he's not really switching frameworks. Right? That was the question. It sounds like he's switching frameworks. He's not switching frameworks. He's keeping the frameworks the same. In the framework of pure Asiya, then we say the Nochri is a Daite Dinafshe Kavid. We say the Nochri's Maisa is his own. But in terms of the product, we'll say, even though he did it on his own, but on his own he dedicated this to you, the product will have the shame of the Israel. That's not a contradiction, right? So therefore, he says, the only time we're going to have an Isser, the only time there's going to be an Isser, is where there's a shame shall Yisrael. It's only usher to be engaged in something that has the shame Yisrael. So when the Maisa is pure Maisa, then there's no problem. Unless you actually direct him. But when there's a product to be nene from, then even though the Maisa has a shame of Daiti D'Nafshe, you can't be nene from the product. You understand?
How do you distinguish between those two and where the shame Yisrael adheres?
So the difference is that Maisa is only defined by its haschala, by its cause. Like you were saying, the Maisa is defined by its cause. But the product is defined by its purpose. You understand? So if I, on my own, decide to do something for you, it could be my Maisa and your product.
But a product is not defined by its cause either? Isn't defined at all, I guess?
When you say defined by its cause, it means to say that the one who's making it has the right to give it a shame. Right? But when he gives it, but when we say that the Nachri, in other words, when we say Nachri adaite d'nafshe kavod, it doesn't mean that everything the Nachri does has his own identity, has only his shame. It means that he is ultimately considered the cause. Okay, so how do we define whose Maisa something is? Then we look at what is bringing the Maisa about. What's starting this Maisa? Whose action is it? So we say, well, where did the action stem from? So we'll say by the Nachri, it stemmed from his own self-evaluation, his own determination. He determined this is good. So that's that. In terms of the Maisa is his. But when he determines he's going to do it for you, so his own self-determined action is to make something for you. So now it's the guy on his own made a Ner Shel Yisrael. You understand? So then it's going to be usher to be Nana from that Ner. Yeah. See, I was saying, when I said that you were going too far, is you were insisting everything get thrown back into the Maisa, and you don't need to do that. And you don't necessarily need to do that. You just have to show that the Isser, the Tzura of the Isser is that the Yisrael is being nehneh from something, is can't have something on Shabbos, or can't allow something on Shabbos, or can't enjoy something on Shabbos that is a that has an identity of Yisrael in it. Maisa can he can't get that way, but you don't need to if there's actually an object that he's being nehneh from. It's his ramp. Now he's walking down his ramp. Why is it his ramp? Because the guy made it for him. Right? Was it his building? No, it was not his building. It was self. It was a spontaneous building, but it becomes his ramp. Right. It's not necessarily that when you tell him it's the Jews' Maisa, but that itself is the Isser, Amira. Okay.